With respect, we owe to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sanjaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambi tatyambi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. As you're sitting, being aware of your posture, letting the shoulders drop,
pelvis tilted, pushing up with the crown of the head. Hands in the cosmic mudra, with the thumbs lightly touching. Belly relaxed. Eyes cast down. Relaxed and unfocused. The attention is on the breath, counting at the bottom of each exhalation. Beginning at 1, up to 10. And then starting again at 1. Each time you realize the attention has wandered, perhaps pulled off into thinking via sensation in your body, just notice and bring the attention back to one, back to the breathing. just sitting and breathing. Nothing to do, nowhere to get, just noticing. Letting it all be exactly as it is.
suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So for folks who are new to practice, you're welcome to grab a back jack. If you'd like to, in the corner of the room, this would be a good time to do that. Would you guys like to close off this video? And go inside? For folks who are just arriving, more zafu is on the way. So this morning is an open group discussion, a chance to talk about anything that you're seeing in practice. So what shall we look at this morning? Mine.
I'm noticing a lot of self-talk, especially when I'm eating. I was going to practice and be present to my eating, and I found myself drifting and, I need to do this and I need to,
there's some really important things that need to happen here as I'm eating my,
I'm like, wait a minute, I was really enjoying this soup, let's eat and be present in that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm again drifting off like, wow, again, my attention is somewhere else and, it was constant.
It's amazing, isn't it, when we really start to tune in to realize how persistent that conversation in your head is, pulling your attention away from just simply being here, especially because it's clear in that who you are. You sat down to really enjoy your soup.
Yeah.
I really want to be present to my meal. Okay, I'm going to do that now.
Yeah.
And then it's like this force of its own comes in to keep pulling your attention away from that.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of the, where I was, there's a lot of judgment, and there was making this mean this, and I was compassionate, and then I just came back to center. It was really interesting. I used the meditation, okay, just bring my attention back.
Yes.
Yeah, there was no, oh, you bad girl.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff.
And it makes it quite pleasant, doesn't it? Because to me, what you're describing is the focus of attention has shifted from, oh, bad girl, you left, you're doing it, look at all the times you're not here, to just coming back. And each time you come back, if you stay here and you don't go off with the conversation that wants to tell you about how you were bad for not being here, then you're just here.
Yeah.
And then really what you're practicing is being here instead of practicing not being here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then while I was eating this morning too, I said, I'm going to do the opposite of what those voices are saying. Because it was saying, eat fast and then go do this and that. And I'm like, no, there's no rush.
There's no rush.
I'm just going to eat and take my time and really just slow down.
It's helpful. You know, someone pointed to this in the discussion last night, that being here is helpful to see the voices, see through the voices more easily, because out in our daily lives, it's harder to see that, come on, go, rush, you got things to do. It seems much more real.
Yeah.
It seems true. I really do have things to do. I really do. But it's so interesting that very same process arises when you're sitting eating a meal at the monastery with no responsibility, nothing you have to rush to go do, but it still tries, hoping that you won't see it, but you're paying attention, and so you see what it's trying to do, and you're, sounds like, actively practicing, not believing it, and not doing what it tells you to do.
Yeah, just definitely taking this opportunity to practice, and definitely it's much easier to notice those voices in this environment.
In a privileged environment, it is, and how wise to take full advantage of that while you're here. You know, I mean, it truly is practice in the same way that anything is practice. So if what we want to get really good at is paying attention and being aware in our lives, we come and spend a week at a monastery. In the same way that, you know, if I wanted to really get good at the violin, I might go find a place where I could submerge myself in really learning the violin, you know, spending all of my time doing that. It's exactly the same process. So being here and really, really putting yourself fully in the experience and taking advantage of the chance to just practice it. Thank you.
Jill. I think of an example of the same sort of process of different content. I will very occasionally forget where my beads Sunday morning. This morning being one of them. And sat down to do the daily recollection, and that was the first that I had noticed. And I remember the first time I ever forgot, the beatings were incredible. And what it meant about who I am as a human being to have forgotten my beads was just, I mean, it's vicious.
Yeah.
It is vicious. And this morning, it wanted to be vicious. It would have been vicious if I hadn't been aware that it was there, trying to be.
Yes.
So I dropped it, dropped the beating, and about 2 minutes later, the voice comes back.
Yep.
What this means about who you are,
yes.
What this just realms, worlds of meaning around forgetting to put my beads under meditation. And so there's a lot of gratitude for just having the ability to be present to that and not go with it, not give it any energy.
Yep. And you have to be present to it in order to have that choice available to you. Because what you described was, you know, years ago, you essentially didn't have that choice.
Yes.
You didn't wear the beads. The beatings come in, and you don't have any choice to turn your attention away from it because that skill isn't there for you yet. And a really important point that you're making, that it's not that the voices are going to stop trying. It's not that the self-hate isn't going to, capitalize on this, great, you know, we can beat her over this. But the paying attention is the thing that allows you to see it and to realize what that is and not believe it. You know, as you said, exactly like was just being pointed at, not go with it.
Yeah.
Not put your attention on it.
Yeah, turn the attention.
Yeah,
turn the attention to the experience of the present.
Yeah.
And just the joy of sitting here on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the joy of just sitting here on a Sunday morning. And you know, when you were talking about it a minute ago, I was thinking, we often talk about self-hate, egocentric karmic conditioning as a worthy opponent. In that, we're going to always have to be present. So it's not a matter of getting present, I get it, now I'm all set, now I can go unconscious. Which of course we would never want. Because what we realize, the joy of just of life, the joy of a Sunday morning is available to us only in the present. So the fact that the voices are always there trying their thing, in a way, keeps our game fresh. Because we always have to be there to not make that choice.
Yeah.
So we're required to stay present in order to continue to have the choice not to go with it, not to be beaten by it. Trish?
I was noticing this morning, just feeling very present, feeling the sun and Oimi and sipping my tea and just feeling so alive and grateful and present. And then, this has happened before, I'm curious about it. Then I start going to what I could say on my evaluation of the week.
Because it's coming right up.
And, you know, coming up with little phrases and stuff.
Sat in the courtyard with my tea. And, yeah.
And sometimes, that's another thing that sometimes it happens is I'll think of other people who I know who are really appreciate this. And it seems sort of on the surface like those are okay things.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, I want to share it with other people who I love.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I'm getting kind of suspicious. That's, just a really sneaky way of getting me away from just enjoying what is.
Because it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. I mean, you know, it feels good.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm suffering, but I sort of have a feeling that it could kind of morph into that.
Yeah, yeah. In a probably a fairly short period of time.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, from what you're talking about, so often when we're in that place of just presence, mm-hmm. And there you are, you're really sipping your tea, you're there. You're there for it. You're really there. So for conditioning to come in to try something like, you know, flat out self-hate or, you know, one of its more ugly sort of tactics, very likely that would just bounce right off you. It would be so obvious that what that was. In fact, it would be it would not be a smart move on conditioning's part at that point, because it would be so revealed out in the open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it almost has to try a different tack, one sort of positive, if you will, to begin to just pull you into that conversation. And then once it's got you, it can begin to move it around to a really suffering place. But again, as you say, at the beginning, it's just sort of that seemingly benign sort of, oh, well, what can I write on my evaluation? But what you're catching on to, it sounds like, is, but that's not what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great to see those subtle places that conditioning tries to trick us, isn't it?
Yeah. Like you said, the obvious things are becoming more obvious.
More obvious. Yeah. They don't work, and so it's got to go with some more subtle things.
I'm finding that I have more anxiety here than I had coming here, because I've been practicing at home, being present, not beating myself up, just letting whatever happened throughout the day happen. Mm-hmm. And so here, where it's more regimented, and I have to remember to get the socks and change the shoes and get here at the right time and wake up when my alarm goes off.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to hyper-focus on it, but I know that I have to do those things where my life at home right now, there's nothing I have to really do.
Uh-huh. There aren't so many structures and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm living really unstructured right now. It's been great. So coming here, it's been really difficult trying to learn and put that structure back into my day. And it's like a little bit of judgment's there and then a lot of anxiety is there.
Uh-huh. A little bit of judgment in the sense of kind of self-hate judging you? Like you're doing it wrong, that kind of thing?
Some of it, like... Uh-huh. Like, oh, darn, I forgot it again, and then going down there, but I'm somewhat able to stop it, but then also, like, still, like, looking around to make sure, like, trying not to look at other people, but being like, oh, did I forget something? I better look at somebody else to make sure I didn't forget something.
Yeah.
It's driving me crazy.
Yes. Yes, it does. And would you say that for you, anxiety and that sort of, like, oh, you know, am I following the rules, am I
Is that familiar to you in your life in general, would you say?
Not recently, because I'm unemployed, but yes, in my day-to-day when I am
When you have more structure and more places you need to show up at certain times and that sort of thing, yeah. So in a way, it makes really perfect sense, doesn't it? That when you enter an environment that does have quite a bit of structure to it, you know, certain socks in certain places and shoes here and, you know, over here it's this time and then here it's this and then this time, and that would trigger all of that for you, those habitual reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it can feel like not so great to have all of that triggered, and yet that's really what this place is designed for. Because if what we're doing, you know, the short recitation that we say is such a perfect kind of encapsulation of what the work of the monastery and the practice is, that we're here to see what causes us to suffer. And back to the conversation we were just having a minute ago, because if we can't see it, if we can't take a good, clear look at it, then we have no choice in dropping it and ending suffering. So it sounds from what you described like you're in the part of the seeing it part of the program, where it's really getting clear, wow, what happens in an environment like this is all this anxiety is triggered.
And I don't know how to drop it.
Yeah, exactly. And of course not. Of course not. Because it's brand new to you. You know, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know, the experience of not just believing it and it's really true and, you know, so you forget to change your socks and that means whatever it means about you and all those things. And not believing that, not going with that, is a brand new concept. Mm-hmm. And it's not something, you know, only conditioning, once again, would come in to say, well, you should be able to drop that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, especially in these first few days of the retreat, a lot of the work we'll be doing is just simply doing things that assist us in having all of it arise. All of the various components of how the suffering works and what it looks like for each of us in particular, having all of that arise so that we can get it out here where we can look at it. So often it's back here where we don't see it and it's just driving us. But what you're talking about is you're now getting it out here where you can actually see it. Can you kind of get a sense of that?
Not yet.
Yeah. But you will, yeah, you will as you go along, because the fact that you're able to articulate it this morning means that you're seeing it. Yeah, that is what the retreat is designed for. Yeah.
The difficulty I was having this morning, being present during meditation, was keeping it here, because the trick of conditioning was to take it outside of this week, and how am I going to remain present at home? Mm-hmm. How am I going to take all these things home?
Mm-hmm.
It was very subtle, you know, started my breathing, and before I reached 10, I had already redecorated my room for meditation and built a hermitage in the backyard.
And it's so great to catch on to that, because that can seem like those are all really good ideas, not being a really sincere practitioner. But do I need to be planning that right here, now, on this cushion? Probably not. Yeah. So what was it like to see it?
It was very ironic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And again, that being able to see it begins to put you in a different relationship with it, doesn't it? Yeah. Begins to potentially allow you to make another choice. Begin down the road of making another choice. Was there more? Well, this is Molly.
I was just really struck this morning with the whole concept of the privileged environment. It's all brand new to me. This is like, I feel like, you know, I'm in kindergarten going to school and, like the rules and the structure.
Whole new language, whole new, everything's new.
Everything, yeah. I'm like, what did I say? But I found this giant sigh of relief come over me that so much of, I think, our lives, my life, is concerned with others and just the energy that goes out, and not only, I mean, it's just a huge drain,
yeah.
I think, in general, but I think also, not to bring gender in, but I think women are often socialized to be concerned about others first, and it's so strange to actually not have any of that pressure at all.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not encouraged in any way.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. You mean I'm not supposed to?
Yeah. It's like I found that to be so comforting. I mean, there's just the stimuli is just it's like just, I'm at this nice even kind of plane to begin to look in, and I just was feeling so grateful for that. And then of course this voices begin, and it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. I hear the birds, that sun's on my face, I'm having my tea. It's like everything is perfect. And then I start worrying about leaving.
Yeah.
And how am I gonna handle that? And you know, this is just you know, you're in a bubble, you're so lucky you can even be here, you know.
Yeah.
So, I just found that interesting, but at the same time I'm still feeling very, very positive, but also noticing that already they want to come in and kind of, you know, hijack the experience.
Yeah. Of course, really, of course, because, so, those voices, especially, you know, you said a minute ago, it's all you, right? You're just in this bubble, you're just, it's such a classic clue that it's self-hatred talking to you. And so there it is, you know, you're just, you know, I mean, it's a theme this morning, just here, just experiencing the beauty of being here, the quiet, the privileged environment, now you know why we call it that, the privileged environment. And the voices have to come in. Because if you have an extended period of time just being present in that, then the chances that you're going to be able to practice and do that throughout your life are way too big. So the voices have to come in some way to kind of undermine that, to get you, to pull you back into conversation with them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it really is a theme this morning that that place of just being here and then the voices coming in. Being here, voices come in. Being here, voices come in. And if we can just notice that as a pattern and realize that it happens for all of us and not take that personally, then we can just watch that movement. And even that's not a problem. So there we are, we're present, we're drinking the tea, and then the voice tries to come in. And then we see that, okay? And then we can drop it. Just come back, you know, being in the courtyard, drinking the tea, and then the voice comes in. We notice it, we drop it, we come back. Just simply practicing that movement. Just continue to come back, continue to come back. And then it's funny, isn't it? Because, so, for a lot of folks, they're already being talked to about what's going to happen when I go home. Well, if right now I practice being here, that's my best preparation to practice being here when I'm at home. Right? Was there more? Jason.
For me, the privileged environment's not new. I've been practicing outside of coming here, and it's always been at pretty much the same location. And I can think back to when I first started, and just kind of how it was. There was like, let's just suffice it to say that over the course of practice, I've become more vulnerable in the privileged environment that I'm used to. And there was a point that came where I began to take that environment with me at home, and I began to notice that it wasn't just the place that I was at, but that it was actually mobile, it was with me. I always, you know, used to think of it like that, like, just originally it was a space that I went to, and then it became a space that I took with me. And something that became like a word of being that became very important to me was available. Mm. And I that really began to resonate with me, and I found myself experiencing being available. And we had this little, a friend and I had this little way of putting it where I was a landing pad and the universe could just kind of drop things in on me and I was there for it. But what I'm noticing since arriving here is that the processes are trying to kick in to not let me get all the way into it, to kind of just dip my toes in so that I'm not actually being available, that I'm not actually being vulnerable, that I'm not actually carrying my you know, my privileged environment with me. You know, it's definitely been taking me out of that, trying to take me out of that. Just little things here and there where it's even, and especially when it comes to this part with to sharing, where it's like, you don't need to say that, you don't need to get into that. You know, that's not necessary. You know, that kind of thing. And it's strange seeing it coming back, because I haven't really dealt with it in a practicing environment in a while. But what I'm thinking is going on here is that it's treating me the way that it treats me anytime I'm outside of a practicing environment. And it's, you know, by not letting me see this as a practicing environment, it's showing me that this is what I'm actually carrying with me a lot more often than I realize.
Which is helpful, isn't it? Yeah, really, really helpful. I mean, we can think, the voices will try to convince us in that situation that you're describing, that we're doing something wrong. Or we're, because if we were doing it well, then it wouldn't be. But in fact, the fact we can know that it's not being successful because you're aware of all of it, which says you're here paying attention and you're seeing what it's doing. You know, as you say, at a quite subtle level. Yeah, and it is really helpful to be able to see that, because if when we came to the monastery, you know, conditioning split and didn't do any of the things it normally does, bummer. I mean, you know, then we don't really get a chance to look at it and to see, you know, take this fabulous opportunity to be in a group of people who the same stuff goes on inside of them. And we're all going to throw it in the middle of the room and together get a really, really good look at it, which is our best shot for all of us at stepping aside from it, not being it, but just seeing it. So it's really good that it does all the things that it normally does, that, as we said before, are normally back here, and now we're getting to see it out there.
Yeah. Absolutely, because I mean, like 10:30 on Sunday morning, I'm usually in a sit. But like I said, it's a familiar place, or it's become familiar, and so it's definitely trying to not let me believe that this can be familiar as well as that same space.
That's really, really good to see. Yeah, really good to see. And exciting, that thing, what you're talking about, that possibility for all of us, that the privileged environment is not a place, it's not even the monastery. You know, I mean, the monastery is a very large representation of it. And it's a place where, as we were talking earlier in the discussion, that we strip away as much of the external distraction as we can to assist people in having an extended period of being able to really see what's going on internally more clearly. But it's not the only place the privileged environment lives. It lives inside of each of us. And as we practice over time, and it sounds like that's a skill you've cultivated, we bring it with us. It's a way of being. It's an attitude of mind. It's a, yeah, it's a way of living.
What I'm really appreciating about the conversation this morning so far is that it's all practice. That's exactly what it is. It's not perfect.
Right.
It's practice.
It's
and
not a destination.
No,
it's not a goal,
definitely not.
It's not a, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually. It's funny. Like what I've been hearing is, whatever I need to work with is going to show up right here. And like you were saying, it'd be a bummer if it didn't. because. Then it could just get me wherever I'm most vulnerable. But luckily, if it's not here already, it will soon show up, and what it is that I need to work with will be here. And the thing that I've been working with is, for a while now, a voice will come in and you know, basically resent a situation that I'm in, mm-hmm. tell me about how I don't like it, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. What's funny is when the situation is no longer there, mm-hmm. it will come in with, bummer. that was terrible. I can't believe that happened. Now you can't. Da, 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 da. And it's like, wait a minute. You were rallying so much.
You hated
this. Hated this. Yeah. And now it's like, and what I'm getting from that is dissatisfaction is just dissatisfaction and suffering is just suffering. It really doesn't care about what it is that I suffer over.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really the point.
Mm-hmm. It will just use whatever you, this particular person, will believe.
Correct.
Whatever kind of bait that you'll take.
Yes, exactly.
So it's just going for the process of dissatisfaction for all of us.
Yep.
And for each of us, whatever that is, whatever will create that, that's what it's going to harp on. Yeah. And so for you, it's some version of, oh, I don't want to be here. Oh, I wish I was there again. Or
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And it even get me with the... You know, like I'm procrastinating doing this one thing, mm-hmm. and it's like it would just constantly. Whenever I see the thing that I need to do, it was just. It's a really. Well, I found out that it was very simple.
The thing that you were
the thing that I was procrastinating to do. Yeah, yeah, it was on a list. It's you know.
Yeah. It's over and over. And yeah, keep written, walking past it.
There it is. Yeah. And
we can't relate at all.
No. And it's funny, I got in a situation where I couldn't procrastinate about it any longer, mm-hmm. and I found that I timed it. It took me 2 minutes to do it. I think it took about 3 or 4 times that amount of time to keep putting it on the list.
I was going to say, I don't know if one can pull this off consciously. It would be interesting to see. But to track just what? Attempting not to interfere with the process, just to let the process take its course, to track how much time it takes to procrastinate.
Boy.
Every time I walk past it and I think about it, you know, time, how much mental space does that take up? It's so fascinating to see. Of course, the problem is you'd have to bring a ton of attention and awareness to it to do that.
In which case, you could just do it.
Exactly. So you just be present and you just do it. So you'd have to really, really make a big effort to not interfere with
you.
I'm not
going to be present right now.
Exactly. Walk past it.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
But take note.
Yeah.
I'm just deeply grateful that it's right here, mm-hmm. and my only job is to take advantage of the time that I have here, mm-hmm. to really just take note, because
yeah.
everything like, really does come up into relief here,
yeah.
and yeah. It's my best shot.
Yeah, as it would anywhere, it's just that it's so much harder to see.
Because it's so muddled in with all the distraction,
yeah.
that it's just kind of like... camouflage for it.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it looks a lot like what's going on television and what I'm hearing and seeing in the billboard.
Yeah, and everybody that I know relates to it. And
yeah,
so it's gotta
and
be
reinforces
true.
Its reality. I know, that stinks. I hate that too.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
So here, it is. It comes into relief.
Yes.
Say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And having a sense of humor about it is key, isn't it?
God, it so is. I mean,
yeah.
if I were to take any of it seriously. I mean, that's just the whole point. It's like it's trying to like stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
we're practicing being Teflon with it. You know,
yeah.
just like
yeah.
Seeing it, but letting it like you said, putting it out there in the middle of the room so we can look at it.
Yeah.
If I let it mean anything about me, boy, I'm just sunk.
You're sunk.
Yeah. It's like the first foot in the door for it.
Yeah. Though you know the amazing thing about it is the minute I see. That I believed it has some meaning about me, I'm back here, and it no longer does. And I'm back
yes.
to being the Teflon. So at any point, when I wake up, and I come back to the present moment, you're set.
Yeah, any point along the way, exactly.
You know, it would like to think, oh, you're getting yourself deeper and deeper into this, and worse, and you'll never get out of it.
Well, that's what I'm here doing in group saying. I'm just say, hey, this is what it's doing to me, yo. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's just like, the minute I do that,
I'm back in awareness
about it. That's
yeah.
what the joy of it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Tom.
That was a good transition because what I've been experiencing and here and before is I do feel that I can be present,
mm-hmm.
and the daydreaming is how I experience it mostly. The suffering, the voices, they can stop. And there can still be this background of tension or anxiety,
mm-hmm.
even in the present.
Yeah.
And it's like a voiceless voice almost.
Yeah.
Or not even an image, just maybe like flashes or something that I can't even identify.
Yes.
So that's very, if I look back the past actually a couple of years, it's been very powerful. It's felt very powerful.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that, wow, I'm present, but I'm still feeling this, whatever it is.
Yes.
And sometimes it feels like that is what, you know, is a seed of a daydream or something.
Uh-huh.
Because something's trying to figure out what it is.
That's it, isn't it?
But I guess what I wanted to share something that was very odd that happened just before I came here,
mm-hmm.
was I was feeling this, it's like, wow, I'm feeling this energy all the time. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Another voice said to me, well, that's what freedom feels like.
Oh.
Like not having anything going on.
Uh-huh.
That's what it feels like, but it feels uncomfortable,
uh-huh.
and so it feels scary, but maybe it's not.
Yep.
So I don't know.
That's a fascinating inquiry.
What to do with that, yeah.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense. So really, conditioning, you could say, is an energy management system. You know, it's constantly siphoning off our energy. And so in awareness practice, energy can begin to build in ways that we're not used to. And we begin to have experiences that don't feel like, quote, me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they can feel, because they're different, they're new, we're not used to them, they can feel uncomfortable, or they get a label of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet perhaps they're just the beginnings of the experience of what it's like to just be here, the energy of life moving through, which can be all different ways, and we all know that, right? I mean, energy's small today, energy's low, energy's big today, energy's this, energy's that, and then all these labels get attached to it, anxiety, fear, anger, sadness, whatever. But when we're practicing just having the energy go through, it's so new to just to have that.
Yeah, and I think I've realized there's really nothing, like I can't do anything about it, I can't defeat it.
Right.
All I can do is like, okay. And then there are times, like right now I can say, well, actually it's not really that bad.
Yeah, and that's huge to see.
Yeah.
That's
or
huge.
Or I can live with this, or it's okay.
Yeah.
It'll be what it'll be. But it's fascinating to watch at home.
It is fascinating.
Also, I guess it's what's good for me so far is just the simplicity of what this is. It's just coming back.
Yep.
And I think one of the other things that has become a little clearer is there is a voice that says, well, that's all you have to do, then all this stuff should go away and should never come back. And now I'm seeing it has not yet worked that way.
Yeah.
So,
and if we look around at life, life is never static.
Oh.
Right? I mean, you just look at one, I'm always fascinated by, at the monastery, you can look at one tree, let's say, and keep watching it over time. Sometimes it's brown and, nothing's on it. And then, the next month it's fully green. And then suddenly it's got purple all in it. And then it's got, right? So life does everything. So only conditioning would come in to say, well, if it were really that simple and you were here, then you would always just be this way. Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. And I just want to go back and underline, because I feel like what you said is just absolutely key, that a big piece of it is proving to ourselves that all of those various experiences coming through the physical form, the different ways that the, anxiety quote, or whatever it is that we're feeling, it's actually okay. When we truly just turn our attention, strip away the meaning, don't get into a conversation about it, but just stay with the actual physical sensations of it, we realize, this is okay. This is all right.
Yeah.
And if it is, if we prove that to ourselves, then we don't have anything to fear. We don't have to try to get away from anything.
Because
mm-hmm. we're perfectly adequate to it.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Ashwin, are you next to your name?
Yes. So there are a couple of things that I was looking at that dropped in meditation. Firstly is just being in another, there's nothing wrong with your retreat, is such a treat, even though I'm not in the retreat, because in the way that it does, it takes me back to the to the awareness of the transformation that happened for me, that led me to this practice. Mm. And I remember the thing that I was looking at most in my TIW was, like, what am I going to do with my life? You know? Like, I have no idea. And I remember being facilitated in such a really compassionate way to the fact that life knows that for me already, and that I have to trust. And now I'm here.
There you are.
Yeah. You know, and just that absolute gratitude to have had no idea that life was just leading me in this most compassionate way to have this transformative experience to just lead me back here. So there was a tremendous amount of gratitude for being brought back to the process. Mm-hmm. The awareness of the process of transformation, and that it's happening all the time.
Yes.
And even though it happened to me for the first time on retreat, it's actually happening for me in this retreat already. Like, I'm part of the retreat, but I'm not in the room.
Right.
Because that transformation process hasn't stopped.
Yes.
So there's an gratitude for the practice, gratitude for the monastery, gratitude for the work that caused it in the first place, and then just that tremendous gratitude that it isn't over.
Yes. Yeah. And in a funny way, we could probably even say that it didn't even start then either. Everything it took to bring you to that point and to be able to suddenly have that transformation.
Yeah.
It took everything that came before.
Right. And then just the gratitude that I wouldn't want to be anywhere else doing anything else other than what life is asking me to do in this moment.
Yeah, exactly. And that can look a trillion different ways.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with content.
You're absolutely right. I think the recognition is of the place that I'm in.
Exactly.
And so, you know, TINW for me, it was a place of tremendous transformation, but it was the experience of awareness that I had for the first time that I can go back to, that I was having this morning in meditation, which brought me to the awareness that I'm always there. I think, it's not content, it's not even process, it's just
it's an orientation. Yeah, it's an orientation. It's a place, it's similar to what we were looking at with Jason. It's a place that you now take with you in everything that you're doing. And what you realize, it sounds like, in the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, is that life is guiding each of us to that place perfectly. It's just that for so many of us, so much gets put on top of that, mostly in the form of a conversation in the head, that we can't see it. So it's not that we're, you know, learning anything new or doing anything like that. We're simply learning to let the conversation, let all that gets laid over that go, so that we can see life is guiding each of us perfectly.
Well, and I think it touches on two other things that have come up so far, which is it's not static, right? So I can say after 3 years of practice, the transformation is happening all the time at deeper and deeper levels.
Right.
It's not like you have one experience and your life is changed because that's the first layer that has to go.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a winnowing that's happening
that's
deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And so that's one part of it. And the other is, it's just interesting. I think someone said, so long as you stay in the place of practice, whatever you need to look at next is going to show up.
Yeah.
And that's inevitable because it is a winnowing process. And only if from a conditioning's perspective you say it's static, that you think that nirvana happens once.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And so it brings me to a process that I've been looking at, which is fear. And the content's not important, but it's related to a medical condition. Which I have been looking at, you know, in the external authorities and the internal authority would have it that there's something wrong with me because I'm in this place.
Right.
And there's just such a lot of fear that I experience. And just to have the experience of fear, like, for example, almost as soon as I was thinking of bringing this up in group, I was aware of, you cannot bring it up because it's going to change the energy of the room.
Wow. So that's the same process.
It's the same process. Uh-huh. So to be with whatever is coming up is what it is we're practicing.
Yes.
And to project the inadequacy of an entire group of people not to be with me or to be with whatever is coming up is the way it shuts that.
Yes.
That is, the label is, it's already unacceptable. Let's not explore it. We can't explore it inside, and we cannot explore it outside.
Yeah.
Whereas the whole process here is meant to put it out.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, it's very subtle what you're looking at, because essentially what you caught was, it was pulling you into the process of fear.
Yes.
On the same, with the content of bringing it up in group.
That's right.
And then what you saw, it's very related to what you started with, was you're bringing it into the place of awareness. And it doesn't matter what we're bringing into the place of awareness. We might be bringing in, oh, I'm so expansive right now and everything's beautiful. Or we might be bringing in, wow, I've got a lot of fear around this thing. Mm-hmm. But the place of awareness is transformative no matter what's being brought into it.
Exactly. So let me make sure I got what you said, Jen. It's that in bringing fear into awareness, it's already not fear, and it's in the process of being transformed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I was looking at is how the process is really afraid of being afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm dying every day.
Right.
I've been dying since the day I've been born.
That's right.
And so what am I afraid of?
Right.
You know? And what arose for me is most people who have the same, you know, process of whatever's going on for me don't know it.
Right.
I do, because I happen to have a little measuring device that tells me that three times a day.
Yeah.
And so just because I know what's going on alters my relationship to it.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And everybody, it's possible for conditioning to keep everybody in a state of I'm invulnerable and I'm living, not that at any moment I might not be.
Yeah.
And so really in looking at the fear, what I got to is there's something that's afraid of being alive. Right? That if the fear goes away, then I'm in this moment, completely here, completely living only this moment.
Yes.
And to assume that there is any other way of living is that pure unconsciousness.
Yes.
So, sure, because of whatever's going on for me, I might die a little failure, which is the prognosis that most medical establishments might have, but I don't know that.
Yes.
And to be afraid of it and to live in a fear of it, the simple fact of that process is, I'm just afraid. The ego, really doesn't want me to be just alive to this moment.
Right.
And so, as someone else was mentioning, it's not fear that is a sensation.
Yeah.
It's a sensation of being completely open and vulnerable to life.
Wow.
And it would tell me that I'm afraid of that experience, so I never have it.
Wow.
And so I just saw that. Thank you very much.
That was big for all of us. I mean, truly, putting those last two conversations together, that's enormous. That it is going to keep us from the freedom of this being, you know, how do you talk about that, of just us experiencing freedom. By labeling it something that we don't want or like, it's I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm whatever. So we never go there. But when we, back to what we're looking at with Tom, when we practice at a level where we realize I'm perfectly adequate to all that's going on, so we walk straight into the what looks at first like fear, we walk right through it and find ourselves in freedom.
Mm-hmm. And it's such an intense emotion. I mean, it's an intense sensation of... It's the my only similar experience is walking out into a public forum where I have to speak to 200 people, and you can feel that rush.
Yeah.
But it's almost, it's like it's that intense, and there's also that the conditioned belief that you cannot live at that level of intensity.
Mm.
Which isn't true, because you don't have to. Like the like the tree and its various phases. At some point you are intense, and some point you're not.
You're not. Yeah.
But you're most intense
in
the moment when you drop the identity and become open to being alive.
Yeah.
Right? And that feeling of an aliveness in what I was looking at has the poignancy of complete impermanence. Because I am going to cease to experience that, and I know that in the moment I'm alive, truly alive. Uh-huh. The feeling of life is this moment is going to cease to exist while the next moment is going to arise. And to know that is that trembling between the fear of the note and the lack of the note. And so the intensity of that emotion that I was experiencing when I was looking at fear is that moment in between. Right? And that is truly being alive, because there's built into it the knowledge of death. And so, it was just it was an interesting experience.
Just another day in practice.
Just another day in practice.
Thank you for that. That was really good.
I woke up this morning and conditioning immediately said, stay in bed, stay in your sleeping bag. It's really warm in here, don't get up. And
just right off the bat. It's
just so it was right there. It was right there.
And again, the you.
Say again?
The you.
Yeah. It was talking. So I reached for my recorder. Where the batteries had died because I went to sleep with it last night on. So I changed the batteries out, I put it on, and I came up to a recording about being open. And just a powerful reminder of, oh right, there's that space to just be open. There's that space, that spaciousness to hold everything that is, conditioning that's beating me up, you know, the idea of just washing my face in the basin just feels really good. The coldness of the air in my Hermitage, even with, because heat's so seductive. I'm kind of thinking
not
heat might be conditioning. Which was tremendous for me to get over that attachment to heat, not having it for 9 days. But I walk down here and I'm like in this, oh, I'm open. I'm feeling it, and I get into the kitchen and you know this and some of the other, you know, I've been missing the memos. I've been missing the notes on the board, you know, notes posted to me.
Or in some case, the notes haven't been there, and so,
Well, but you remember I live on Perfect and Best Street, so.
Right. You should make people
notes. Or thinking that everybody knows where they're supposed to be except me. So I still being in that kind of be open, expansive state, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept guidance from wherever it comes from, if it drops in from life. And it might come dropping in not just from life as an intuition arising, but a monk going,
come on into the kitchen.
Well, we're going into the meditation hall. I was like, I didn't get. So I sat here on the cushion and tears started immediately, even during the recitation, of just great compassion for the human that is getting beaten up about not knowing. And then tremendous gratefulness. All I kept saying was, thank you for putting me in this experience to not know. And to release that having to live on Perfect and Best Street and just be with whatever really is right at this moment.
Because what you're saying is so huge, Beth. So in your case, you have to be perfect all the time, and that means you have to know. And so in life, we can easily go around trying to know everything, so that I can be perfect, so that I can be best, so that I can
trying that, that our entire life living in that, come to an environment like this, it's impossible. You know, you don't have the big picture at all. You don't have any of the information. You don't have any of the, right? And when life lines it up perfectly, that someone doesn't give you the right information at the right time. So you actually don't have the information of where you're supposed to be, right? So you're in the situation where you have to confront what comes up when you don't know.
Right.
And to find out, it's perfectly okay.
Well, exactly. And, you know, despite what we talked about, you know, we are dying every single moment. I'm not going to die because I don't make it into a meditation hall at the right time, and yet conditioning would want to convince me.
Yes. Not only are you not going to die, but you could have a tremendous experience of compassion for the being in the middle of that.
Right.
And that is just so big, because then what that means is the next time it comes at you with, you have to know what this means about you, you're not going to ever believe that at the same level. Now, is it going to keep trying? Oh, yeah. And are you going to fall for it on more levels? Yeah. Because you're going to start drilling down and seeing it on more and more subtle levels. But it's never going to be the same, you having seen through it in that very big, significant way.
A huge way. And it gives me chills, which is my sense of just that truth sinking in. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of that saying, everything we do is so important, we can't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
I just...
It's great, isn't it?
It's like one to live by in that way of, oh, right.
Yeah.
What's really at stake here?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I wish I could... I'm sure I'll butcher it, but there's a wonderful peace quote that came through a long time ago that I recorded. I think it was from a rabbi who said, you know, each person should have a note in each pocket. One where, on the days where I just feel, you know, high and mighty, then it says, what does it say? So it says something like, we must all remember we are ashes and dust, or...
Yeah.
And then on the days where we feel lowly and awful, we must take out of the other pocket, or, you know, for us, the universe was created.
Yeah.
Both things are completely true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was so helpful. So for me, and I'll just add the one other piece, because... again, over my time being here these last 3 weeks, it's been really tough to keep my attention on myself. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to either fix other people, or, you know, bring the teachings to, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, always outside of myself. And this real awareness of everything I'm trying to say to someone else is really what I need to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that be open was something I kept saying to my boyfriend before I would come on these retreats, to him. Mm-hmm. And I only found out on this retreat.
Oh,
well, that's actually for me. So to really embody that, and I think this is the first time this morning of really myself feeling compassion for the human that I'm with.
Yeah, this human that this you're human stewarding through life
finally gets compassion.
Yes.
You know, and that was a lot of the tears too, just a real feeling of somebody, you know, that piece of me got heard, got seen, got acknowledged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. Thank you. So go ahead.
What I've been looking at this morning that's been coming up in this conversation is the switch in practice from it's all about me to it's all for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being aware of how prior to practice, you know, I was like an individual kind of looking outside at everything that was going on in the world, you know, and how
it relates to you.
Yeah, and how do I become a part of it? How do I participate? Uh-huh. You know, it's like, all that's going on out there, and then there's...
Well, that's a good image,
You know?
So you're out here completely separate from everything else and trying to figure out, how am I going to get to be a part of this?
Right, right. Yeah, and what does it have to do with me, and how can I get it right in order to be the right person, to be a player in this whole, you know. And just the shift of, and I, you know, it's coming from that place of non-separation, that it's all for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not separate from any of it, and everything that's arising is like this gift for me, as was said earlier, to assist on the path of transformation or whatever, you know. mm-hmm. what's ever up for this being yeah. In this lifetime.
Yeah.
And I just was feeling gratitude for that and appreciation for being reminded, you know, just about it's all for me, it's all a practice, mm-hmm. you know, it's just embrace it all and wow, what a lovely, lovely life, lovely moment that makes for.
Truly, truly. Yeah. And sometimes it's really obvious that it's all for me, you know, because it's all stuff that's just amazing and it feels so good. Sometimes it's less obvious.
I love that. Thank you very much.
Because the Hermitage with no heat for that. How is that for me?
Yeah.
But of course it is. It all is. When we pay attention, when we bring it into awareness, it's all leading us towards freedom. And we can get really quite religious with it, right?
Yeah.
How it's amazing how just the thing that we need shows up exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, what I really needed was to have no heat. So I can see that, you know, whatever it is.
It really brings you into the spirit of inquiry to look at everything that arises. Like, wow, what's the, you know, what is here for me to see? And then it makes it much more fun.
Much more fun
than the person that's out there scrambling to try and figure it out how to get in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And back to that letting life lead. So I don't really see how this is for me. So I don't need to go figure that out. But I can just kind of hold that as a huh. Mm-hmm. And so often when we hold it lightly in that way, just as we go along, the insights just drop in. Mm-hmm. And we look back, I'm so grateful for that. Thank goodness that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, that had to happen to bring me to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. Thank you. That's our time.
That there's another short sit at 11:40.
So it's a little past 11:30 now. So if people want to use the facilities or that kind of thing, go ahead and do that, and then be back in here at 11:40 for another short meditation before lunch.